It's episode 22 of Catfish on Ice podcast, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and presented by DraftKings. This is Chad Benton, your host, always joined with you with Rich Howe and Colin Bluen. And we've got an awesome guest with us tonight, and that's our fellow colleague and Predlines contributor, Eli Farmer. So he's got a lot of thoughts coming in on this game. He picked a perfect time to join the Catfish on Ice podcast after that game. So we're going to get all his thoughts. He's got a lot to say about it, if you can't tell by his facial expressions down there. And so we're about to go to him. But we've also got a full show lined up for you. We're, of course, going to react to the entire Preds Red Wings series, because we also got to react to the win on Tuesday night, which was also very exciting. A lot of big things happened in that win. It's hard to remember that after just watching the game we just saw. But we are going to talk about that game as well, because we can't gloss over it. We're going to also get into some trade scenarios, because we are in trade season, and we've already talked about some trade scenarios in past episodes. We're going to kind of talk about, if we're going to trade certain players, what do we want in return? What would be a fair offer? What are we expecting? That'll be a fun topic to get into. And then we're also going to talk about how we're feeling about UC Saros' future in Nashville, because I'm starting to feel like it's starting to get a little worrisome, just because I get that you ride the hot hand with Pekka tonight, but at the same time, UC Saros is supposed to be your guy right now, and clearly he's not, despite not getting some of these starts. And so he's in the last year of his contract, and he's going to be a restricted free agent. So we're going to get into that. Again, we're presented by DraftKings. Go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the promo code THPN. Get in on some of that money that DraftKings has given out over the last 9 years. They've given out $7 billion in winnings. It's a lot of fun. It's very easy to use the app. You can do daily fantasy. You can do the typical sports gambling that people know about. And right now, the deal we've got going for you is to get the promo code THPN to bet on some basketball. You can turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-point shot in any basketball game this week. Use the promo code THPN for new customers to get a shot at 100-1 odds on any basketball team to hit a three-point shot. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, Michigan, or Virginia. Restrictions do apply. And once you get those winnings, you'll get them in 25 free bets, four of those to come out to that $100. And go to the DraftKings.com Sportsbook app for details on that. And if you do have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Indiana, 1-800-WITH-IT, or Virginia, call 888-532-3500. Pretty sure every 30 seconds when you watch a basketball game, someone's draining a three-point shot. So I think that's a pretty good deal for a lot of people. So if you haven't got the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use our promo code THPN. Win you a little money and have a little fun. We've already done it. We talked about our Hockey Podcast Network daily fantasy contest we got into. Colin got robbed. He almost won the contest up until the last game.
Very close.
It can be heartbreaking as well, but at the same time, it is a lot of fun. So go get that app and use our promo code THPN. So we got Eli Farmer joining the show. He's a Predlines contributor with us, and he's got a lot of thoughts about this game. And we were kind of talking about it in our Predlines group going into the game, and we didn't know how the game was going to work out, of course. But he was excited to join the show and just talk about what happened on Tuesday night, because that was a very exciting game. A lot of awesome things happened. But now he's going to give us some what we like to say spicy thoughts about this game as well. Right. So Eli, how about you just start off this really fun segment as we're reacting to what we just saw? The Preds lose 5-2.
Okay.
Official final score.
Yeah. The first thing I would like to say is the final score does not truly tell the story of how the game went.
No, I think
if you're just looking at box scores, you're not getting the full picture at all. 5-2 is not how that game felt. That was actually really a fun game to watch for about 44 minutes or so. I thought it was very back and forth the first couple of periods. Granlund was showing a lot of hustle early. I thought the Preds had some energy, especially in the first period, which is rare. They gave up kind of a junk goal early, and usually with the Preds, that means, oh, here we go. Something's about to start snowballing. The bad luck is happening, blah, blah, blah. But they really showed resolve. That was awesome. They did the same thing on Tuesday. We'll get into that later. So they showed resolve. They hung with them. It was 2-2. They scored like 3 minutes into the third, and everything was looking up. And then the wheels came off completely. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure with I think they said on the broadcast that the Preds are actually the best third period team in the entire NHL in terms of scoring. Yeah. Unfortunately, that didn't mean much.
It changed a little bit.
Defense, yeah, we didn't put up any points and just let a waterfall, just an avalanche of goals happen. So hopefully they can learn from this. But this did not feel good.
All right. How about you, Rich? Kind of give us your thoughts. I know you came in a little late in the game. You didn't get to see all 60 minutes, but kind of how did you feel just from what you saw tonight in this game tonight?
Well, first off, I'm going to take the blame for the loss because I started writing something for Predlines, and I wrote it as if they had a 3-game winning streak.
Oh, no.
So
you just put yourself out there, Rich. You are at the wrath of Pred social media now, and yeah. They are
boo.
I really coming apologize. After you. Yeah. I watched the third period, and, you know, it was not glorious, as they always like to say their third periods are glorious. But, they let Pekka let in another fluky goal. And then, like Eli said, the wheels just kind of fell off and they just couldn't get anything back. And then he wasn't, the empty netter. And
but, yeah. But Pekka also wasn't as sharp as tonight either, I don't think.
No, like, it was not. Yeah.
That goal to make it 3-2 was one where I just felt like he got handcuffed a little bit and he kind of like.
Right.
It wasn't like none of the goals the Red Wings scored tonight were what you would call highlight reel goals at all. But they all count the same. They all count the same. Colin, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I saw, you know, Pred Twitter, but a lot of people were calling for, you know, why are we putting Pekka in, you know, for 2 nights in a row? And it's like, listen, he played great on Tuesday night. I mean, tonight was not a good night. But I think part of it, were they fluky goals? Yeah, I think part of it is just that we let them stay too much in the O-zone. Like, on Tuesday night, I think the difference between Tuesday night and tonight was the fact that we could clear the zone pretty quickly, and we really maintained possession very well. Tonight, we didn't do a good job of possession. We let them hang around the offensive zone way too long, and then that creates chances. And so, you know, even down low, I mean, they were allowed way too close to our net for way too much time, and it would turn into points. And so that was kind of their tail of the tape. We had a lot of chances, though. I mean, there were some chances with Forsberg where he nearly like by inches missed the go ahead. And so if we went up 3-2, I think we're telling a different story. I think the team's playing with a different energy, but it's one of those things where we had the shots on net tonight. I think that was, you know, or shots on goal, but just couldn't turn it into points. So frustrating. Offense is still limited and that's not really changed too much.
Right before the Red Wings took the lead 3-2, there was that sequence where the net was wide open. Mm-hmm. And it looked like it kind of got like tapped in and it just barely missed that net.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember who tapped that. If one of you guys can help me out on that, who had that tip in?
It was Forsberg.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Is that the one you're talking about, Colin? Yeah. It was like just off. And you got to, you know, you've always got to ask yourself if the Preds are the ones that take the 3-2 lead, maybe they play their style differently because, hey, the Red Wings are not an offensively gifted team. Like Eli said, the box score is going to throw you off there, but it wasn't an offensive type of game for the Red Wings by any means. Maybe if the Preds go up 3-2, maybe they tighten up their defense and they figure out a way to get 2 points. But I got to say this, even if the Preds got 2 points tonight, I still don't think anything would have changed my opinion on this team. They are who they are. I mean, just how they're playing against the Red Wings, it just tells me that they're not – You can't put them out of a class of what the Red Wings are in right now. And I think that things are going to – I think we're really about to kind of come down to what this team really is, and it's not going to be pretty when these next couple weeks come up. You start playing Florida more often. You start playing Tampa Bay again. We already know Tampa Bay. Oh, my gosh. Like, and we still got to play – Chicago's on the up and up. I mean, yeah, we're playing the Red Wings and even Columbus. Like, we've proven we can match up well with Columbus, but – hey, we're about to play some teams that we've already shown we can't match up with this season. So I just, there's nothing that gives me any more confidence in this team, even after the Preds had such a exciting win on Tuesday. Eli, kind of talk about the game, what you saw from Tuesday and what changed on tonight's game.
So The Preds just controlled everything super well on Tuesday. They let in shots. They let in hits. They let in faceoffs won. They had fewer penalty minutes, and they turned the puck over less than half as much as the Red Wings. They were just very controlled. And so what Colin said earlier about how during this game, the Red Wings just like were able to transition from defense to offense very quickly. I think that's like one of the main things that the Predators are lacking. It seems like we lack chemistry. Like everything that the Preds try to do takes more effort than it does for most of the teams we're playing. I don't know if that comes from a coaching perspective, whether that's all the line shuffling or whether we just truly don't have enough talent on the roster. I don't think that's it. But there are a number of issues that are preventing us from really clicking. And Tuesday, we kind of clicked. But for most of this season, as we've seen, the Preds are not clicking, especially for a full 60 minutes. And that really reared its ugly head, especially in the third tonight.
Yep.
Well, sure. And it's funny you mentioned it, Chad, because I actually crafted the tweet in the third period, and I didn't send it. I was about to tweet on the Catfish account, but I said, it's good to see that we're hanging in there, but it gives me concern that we're playing Detroit, who is the bottom this close. And deleted tweet. I was like, I'm gonna stay optimistic, and deleted it, and it didn't pan out. But it's just. Yeah, speaking to what Eli said, I mean, the lines didn't, change, which is, different from what we've seen. I think it's only happened once before where the lines didn't change. But, yeah, it just seems like the guys just aren't – it's a matter of clicking, and it's still bad habits that are showing in the games. Like, when we play that Tuesday night game, it's clean. Tonight's game, we saw bad habits, especially my biggest one, and this might offend some people – I got to call Arvey. Like, the dude, as soon as the puck touches his stick, if he's 30 feet out, he's shooting. Like, it doesn't matter. He could be further out than that. He's still going to shoot it. And he has open ice in front of him. It's like, dude, you made your bread and butter off of getting close to the net and scoring those nasty goals. Do that. Like, you're not a slap. You don't have the slap shot to blow it past these goalies. And he just doesn't – I don't know what it is about it.
He just doesn't look comfortable in this off. He doesn't look comfortable on this team at all. RV almost looks like he's a prospect out there sometimes. Like, I hate to say that, but he looks like he looks like he's not an NHL veteran out there. Like, he's just skating in no man's land. A lot of times he's struggling to even hold control of the puck. I mean, RV looks nothing like what he looked like before last season, ever since the injury.
I think it's right. The veneers. That's just me. I think take the veneers out, he'll be back in balance.
Yeah, I think so too. You know what else? I think they all need haircuts. Every single one of those dudes.
Yossi's got his hair flowing, man. Yeah. Yossi's out there like looking like he's ready to be on the beach, like surfing somewhere. Like Yossi's got that hair flowing, man.
He did have that one.
I'm a little jealous because I'll never be like that, but.
He did have that one nice move where he carried the puck all the way up the ice and tried to get a shot. I want to see more of that from him. I mean, I think he needs to
But hockey's just not that type of sport. It's not like basketball where you can go one-on-one, isolate your man. But what makes Yossi such an incredible player is he can do that occasionally. He got in a little too tight on Bernier. They mentioned that on the broadcast, and I totally agree. He got in just a little too tight. And he almost made the save easier for Bernier by getting in as close as he did. But it was an incredible move. I'm not even surprised when I see that anymore. Yossi does that. He's done that so many times, and I'm almost like, oh yeah, like that's Roman Yossi. Not surprised by that at all. But I also think, real quick, another reason why this loss is crushing is I think there was some optimism. Mm-hmm. It was tempered optimism. It wasn't like exploding by any means. But we had a little bit of optimism because that Tuesday win was so complete. I mean, you got Tolvanen scoring that big-time goal. You had Forsberg scoring. You had Pecorine getting his 59th career shutout. You saw that smile on Pecorine's face that everyone loves. And it was like all these perfect things happened. And the great third period they had in that game. And it's just like – and it's always sweet when you beat the Red Wings, no matter how bad they are. Yeah. And so – there was just this optimism. I even had it going into this game. I'm like, man, I got some optimism. Like, and then we get to play Columbus again. Like we've beaten Columbus three out of four times. I'm like, man, we might be able to build a little bit of a winning streak here, a little modest winning streak. And I mean, it comes crashing down, you know?
Yeah, we thought had some optimism, you know, that they were finally turning the corner, but they apparently have not turned the corner. So next up, you know, they do play Columbus twice, but then after that, March starts a gauntlet for them. So they got Carolina and then Florida twice, Dallas, Carolina twice, Tampa Bay. So it just – I think that we're just delaying the inevitable, and we just need to enjoy these games and just take it for what it is, because I just don't think that it's going to look the same next season.
No. I mean,
it might not look the same in a couple of weeks, so –
Yeah, I think it's a matter of weeks. Kind of like we were talking about in one of the earlier episodes about the soft deadline. Like, the hard deadline's April 12th, but realistically, if teams want to get guys in before then and give them, you know, 2 weeks to get acclimated and get through the COVID protocol, there's probably going to be a soft deadline before that. So that's going to be something to watch for. But, you know, looking at the two games we have ahead of us, they are Bridgestone, but it's back to backs. So it's Saturday and Sunday. So we'll see UC at one point or another, but we've never had, looking at our schedule, we've never had more than a 2-game win streak. And that's brutal compared to the last few seasons.
Yeah.
Eli, how do you feel about Ryan Johansson since he's been reinserted into the lineup? He's in the bottom six. That's kind of like a touchy subject there. Like, a lot of people think he should still be in the top six.
Yeah, I think they might be working him back in. Clearly, he's been struggling this whole year, so I think maybe they're trying to get him more limited playing time so he can maybe maximize his efficiency on the ice. I really don't know. I'm not in that locker room. I'm not Coach. I don't know what Coach Hines is thinking some of the time. But that would be my reasoning. I think maybe getting him with Cousins is a big dude. And Joey's a really like physical player as well. I think pairing them with Tolvanen, who's kind of an electric player, maybe they can just like establish themselves on the ice and try and like just get some positive ice time, not even necessarily score goals, but just do something good, just get back into rhythm on the ice. But so far, I don't know. Joey's been all but invisible to me.
Yeah. Sadly enough.
Well, I want to highlight one of our Twitter followers on Predlines that replied to the Predlines tweet. I think, Chad, I'm not sure if you tweeted this one, but they were like, how do we feel about, you know, Ryan Johansson being on the third line? One of our followers said, I prefer him on the fourth line and skating on the sun, on the surface of the sun.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
She's awesome. Yeah. She, let's get her, let's get her Twitter handle, give her some love there. She puts out a lot of stuff, good stuff on Twitter. She's a really good follow, by the way. She puts a lot of funny stuff out there. At NHL Crisis is her Twitter handle. Bailey's in a Shoe is her name right now. She changes her name up a lot, but she's a really good Preds fan. She puts a lot of funny stuff out there. And, yeah, she went out there and basically said he needs to be on the surface of the sun. I responded and said, let's reconsider our options and leave him on the third line for now. And then we'll reconvene later and see if maybe your suggestion is worthy.
If we can't find a trade partner, we can consider the surface of the sun. Yeah, that's like
if we had this person on the show right now, they would probably be even closer to saying, let's go ahead and put him on the sun after this past game. But we appreciated that response for sure.
real quick, Chad, we have somebody listening to us live right now. His name's Mike Twitter, I think is his name. And we were talking about Yossi, and he said, yeah, Yossi can go video game mode. And that's
awesome. Totally agree. He looks like a video game.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for responding or for giving us a comment. That's awesome.
And that person is totally correct in that. Roman Yossi makes it look like a video game sometimes. Like he does stuff that I definitely don't even with an Xbox controller, I probably still don't know how to do. But I'm also not good at Xbox. But either way, he does do stuff like that. That's crazy.
For sure.
But he can't do it on his own. That's the problem. Hockey is a sport where, I mean, you can score some flashy goals every now and then like that, but you need a team around you. Yeah. And we've talked about this in previous episodes. I think Catfish Jake mentioned this when we had an interview with him, talking about how we're wasting some of these players' best years right now.
Yeah, I mean,
and Roman Yossi is definitely one of them.
Yeah, Yossi, I think at Forsberg is 26 right now. I mean, there's not more of a prime age for him to be a point of per game player, and so it's like, man, I the thought of losing him is crazy, but even just the fact that he's 26 and he's not a contender right now and he's doing what he's doing is frustrating. You know, I think that there's a few other players. People are saying Duchesne and Johansson are in, you know, the prime of their career too. And they're a little bit older, 29, 30, but you know, they still have a lot of years left, but you know, there's Rocco Grimaldi, who's relatively young. I think he's in 26, 27 range. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough. I think that, you know, we're not going to really see a contender until someone like maybe Tolvanen is in his prime, you know, in that 26 age range. But, you know, realistically, if we're in a rebuild phase, it's going to be 2 or 3 years. So that's about that time when he's going to start getting to that age and getting to, you know, that production. But yeah, it's just frustrating seeing some of these guys waste when we know we have talent there. It's there. I think it's a combination thing, kind of like what Eli was saying about the line combos, but we should have the talent to be more competitive than we are.
I would absolutely agree. I don't think we have the most talented roster in the NHL by any means, but we do have a very talented roster. A lot of guys that can do a lot of different things really well. I think it's going to come down to, though, in regards to what the Preds are now and what they want to be over the next few weeks regarding like trade deadlines and things like that, but also over the next couple of years, like, do you want to commit to a full rebuild and just ship basically everyone except for like Forsberg and Yossi? Or do you think we're only a couple pieces away from really like turning something around? I think it's going to be based purely in like, what kind of identity do you want to have as the Nashville Predators? Like right now, if you had to describe, like, what kind of team are the Predators? Are they like a big physical team? They play lockdown defense. Do they score a lot? Do they put on highlight reel plays? Do they do any of those things? No, they're just like a team right now. And I think once the Predators, and especially Coach Hines, commit to saying like, this is what we want to do, this is what we want to do well, and then you can go from there and go and get the guys that are required to make that happen. I think we're going to be caught in this limbo unless something like that happens. They need a culture shift.
And the thing that scares me is what I've kind of been in the school of thought of, okay, maybe Hines isn't the answer, especially if we go into rebuild, is I don't know that he knows what identity he wants. If he did, then we probably wouldn't have all these line combinations and the what we call the line salad, because he would lock in, okay, these are the guys that are going to do what I need them to do, mm-hmm. and I'm going to stick with that. But there's been no consistency across the board. So as a fan, and even as, you know, for us as writers that watch and live and breathe this, it's like, we have no idea what the identity is, and we have no idea what the intention of the identity is as far as right. what Hines has said. You know, they say the coach speak of, we want to be a physical team and we want to be a fast team, we want to be a smart team. Like, of course you do. Every coach, I've never heard a coach say, I don't want to be physical, I don't want to be smart, I don't want to be fast. Like, of course you do. But like, what's going to be our bread and butter? What's going to be what we hang our hat on?
Well, hey, if we're about to see this sell-off that we're kind of about to talk about a little bit when it comes to what we want to see in return for some of these players, but if we're about to see a sell-off and they still keep John Hines as the head coach, we're going to see what his identity is, because he's going to have players, new players. He still has players that have been here for a while, way before he was ever here. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that has to do with it, but I do know that right now, just like Eli said, there's no identity with this team. Yeah. There's very little chemistry. I feel like they don't have a good chemistry or bond with each other. Like, not like, I know they're friends and they're buddies, they have each other's backs. I'm not saying that. I'm not inside the locker room, but I'm saying just on the ice, I don't see the chemistry that it takes to be a successful team.
Yeah. Well, right. I think it kind of goes back to the part that we talked about with PK Subban and what he brought in terms of intangibles. Like, there's not that guy that really energizes the team in a sense, and in an emotional sense. I mean, Yossi, I think, is a very good captain. I think he's a great leader by example. But in terms of like getting the energy up, we have, you know, Borowiecki, who kind of, he's the agitator a little bit and can kind of, you know, defend the guys. Even Harper kind of showed that tonight a little bit when he got that guy.
Yeah.
But really, like, we don't have that guy that's going to be a different kind of playmaker in terms of what they bring emotionally to the team. And there just doesn't seem to be that. There seems to be a void in that kind of leadership, because the guys just don't respond. I mean, it's so easy to see them get dejected, and we it's almost like clockwork. Like, we see them get down by one goal in the third period, and we're like, oh, well, here we go. Because like, there's nobody that can really turn it around. Before, you know, a couple of years ago when we had someone like PK Subban, it was like, all right, Craig Smith, yeah, Craig Smith was, I mean, yep. even Colin Wilson back in the day, like, you're like, okay, we might be down, but we're not out. Like, there's still a chance. And this team just doesn't have that. You see how deflated it becomes, and no player has really stepped up. So I think that, you know, if we make a trade, and we'll get into this conversation a little bit, but if you make a trade, I would say look to get, you know, one of those players that can be a locker room guy that can really fire the team up when it seems like it's down and really kind of pick up their spirits a little bit to try to get them back in the game.
I think Poyle was counting on.
Right, so this is.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead,
Joe. No, finish your thought, Rich.
Well, I was just going to say, I think Poyle was just counting on, you know, guys like Duchesne and Forsberg and Arvidsson, these guys. Well, Forsberg's having a good season, but just counting on these guys that they would be the spark for the team, and it's just not gelling. It's if anything, it's worse than it was last year. So they're just not gelling together, and that's what he was counting on, and it's just not panning out. And then the support players that he's bringing in, they're not really helping matters much either. So
nope.
I think we're gonna see the sell off. So.
So the Preds lose this game 5-2. They're now 8-11-0 on the season. They've now split four games with the Red Wings. If that doesn't make you want to throw up in your mouth a little bit, then I don't know what will. Ooh. So So I mean, it's the only way that they're going to turn this around is if they have a lot of upsets over really good teams in their back pocket that we don't see coming. Until that happens, yeah. So that's just where we find ourselves at, but we knew that we were getting into this when we saw this all-division schedule, and it's a little bit worse than what we thought it was, obviously, because a lot of us on the show thought that the Preds would at least battle for the fourth spot, maybe finish in fifth if they felt short, but they're not even looking like they're a fifth-place team anywhere close. Mm-hmm. So, Eli, thanks for joining the show, man. We will have you on a future episode. Hopefully we will talk about a much, much better game.
I guess we need
to invite you. We'll invite you the next time we react to a Columbus Blue Jackets game, because apparently the Preds know how to play the Blue Jackets well.
Yes. Yeah. They tend to stack up a little better. But yeah, Chad, thanks for having me. Rich and Collins, great to see you guys.
You guys too.
And Eli Farmer, he's with us on predlines.com. So go follow him on Twitter. And we are going to go now to the next segment, which is talking about UC Soros. And the big thing with UC Soros right now is how concerned should we be about his future? Because we expected Soros to be the starter and did Pecorine to be the backup. Now, things change. I'm not against what they did tonight starting. Yeah. I mean, it was understood. It made sense. You always ride the hot goaltender. And Pecorine has been locked in, not just from Tuesday's win when he had the shutout, but leading up to that, he's been playing very well. He's been playing better than Soros. But be that as it may, a lot of people were kind of thrown off, including myself, that Soros didn't get the start, just being like you kind of expected Soros to probably start. But Pecorine got the start. He wasn't his sharpest tonight. So now we got to start really thinking like into next season. If we're thinking about a rebuild like we're all talking about, obviously you got to know what goaltender you're going forward with. And you've got Pecorine, who might be retiring. We really don't know what his future holds. And then you've got Soros, who's also going to have to be re-signed. So I don't know. Colin, you want to start it off here on kind of like how you're feeling about Soros and his future on the Preds.
It's a weird spot to be in because, you know, he hasn't started for a couple of weeks here. And so that's one piece of it is that, you know, for a goalie, I think momentum is kind of helpful in terms of, you know, he's played spot duty before and every goalie kind of starts out like that in their career. But really he transitioned into more of a consistent, you know, game to game goalie for us. And so he's not been in that spot. He's been out for a couple of weeks and, you know, you hope that he is still sharp. I mean, obviously he's playing, you know, and he's getting plenty of practice, but with this offense, who knows what that actually does to test him. But it's concerning for the contract reasons, because like you said, he's up after, you know, after this. And so it's like, are we interested in the long-term investment? And at the same time, you have the news that Pecorine is one of those players that was named as an untouchable. You know, he does have a 10-team no trade clause. So that's something interesting to add, but Pekka's getting, you know, ready for his contract to kind of go up a little bit. And he might take a hometown discount to continue if we want to just continue to see like, okay, let's ride it out with Pekka until Askarov is ready or until, you know, someone else is ready. But, you know, with that, it's one of those things where we're still probably going to overpay for Pekka because he's Pekka. And, you know, the other teams would probably pay less, but we'll probably keep him here just because of who he is. And I don't necessarily hate that. I think he gave it for a lot of the early years when he was playing at his prime. He wasn't making nearly what he deserved, and so I can give a little respect to that. We're not going to be a cap team probably for the next couple of years while we're trying to work on this rebuild, if we're going to be honest with ourselves. Yeah. But it's just one of those things where you wish you had more answers than questions. Right now, we're not there. We're not in that spot.
Not even close. Not even close. Rich, what's your thoughts on it? Do you see Soros? Okay, let me frame it this way. I'm asking you right now. You got to say yes or no. Sorry to put you in that box.
You're fine.
Is Soros the day one starter to open the 2021-22 season?
I don't see how he could be, really. Oof.
I expect you to go the other way on that one. Man, I thought you were going to say yes.
It hurts me to say it. But
man,
I wrote an article in the offseason about how Soros needed to step up this season and prove that he was going to be the franchise goaltender, and how he needed to, and this was before they signed Askarov and everything, and that the job was his, you know, to take, and he needed to just come out of the gate, you know, firing on all cylinders. And unfortunately, the team in front of him is still not good, and he was left out, you know, hung out to dry a couple of times, but he's also let in some goals that he should have stopped, and, you know, he's been pulled or whatever, and I just think next season they're going to have a problem. Until they can get Askarov in here, I just think they're going to –
I don't know where his confidence level is right now. I really don't. I mean, and that's not me trying to, like, be overly critical of him or saying he's not a tough-nosed player, or I could be completely wrong in how I'm reading this, but the guy's had some horrible luck around him that's not out of his control.
Right.
He's following a legend in Pecorine, who Pecorine has always been there for them and been an awesome mentor. We put it out on the podcast right after the game, and all the credit goes to John Glennon who covers the Preds for Broadway Sports. And he asked an awesome question. We put it on our Twitter feed. Go back and find it. Basically asking Pecorine, kind of like, he asked him about the shutout, how that felt. He asked him how he was feeling going into the season, all that stuff. And basically Pecorine put his genuine thoughts out there like he always does and talked about how much of an honor it has been to work alongside UC Soros. He's not sure what's going to happen next season, going into next season. He wasn't even sure what to think about this season going into it. You know, completely humble Pecorine, like we already know about him. But there just wasn't any answers, really. He left a very cryptic answer as far as what Pecorine's future holds and also kind of being the mentor for UC Soros for these last couple of years. And there's just –
Pekka actually said something to the effect of, I don't know how many more years of this I'm going to have, if this is going to be it or not. And when you start talking like that, I don't know. It just makes it sound like this might be it, unless they do just dump, give him some money and be like, please hang on for another year.
And definitely I don't think Pekka's after the money. He's definitely got to be after a Stanley Cup. And if a really good – judging by how he's played so far this season, I think he's upped his stock as far as a team out there wanting him as a backup next season.
I think Pekka, though, and even in the offseason, he mentioned he's gotten a different perspective on what his life looks like, especially becoming a father, you know, first-time father, playing as long as he's played in the league. I think it's kind of – you know, he's done everything but win a Stanley Cup, and it's like, what's the likelihood that he's going to be able to, you know, do that outside of Nashville? And even then, I mean, we know how far off those chances are. But realistically, a player of his age and his caliber, I'm sorry, that he's not going to a Cup contender. So what more does he have to prove? He's a Vezina winning trophy winning goalie. He's won the President's Trophy. Like, beyond without you know having the Stanley Cup, like, that's the ceiling. And so. I think that realistically, it's kind of like the writing's on the wall. And so if anything, like I said, I think he'll stick it out with the Predators, because the Predators are just going to pay more. We just know they are, because that's how you treat the guy that, you know, you're going to put on your ring of honor at some point. But I want to say from like an analysis standpoint, it's like the reverse of last year. Y'all remember last year when UC Soros was playing well and he was getting the starts because Pekka could not get good defense in front of him. And it feels like the opposite this year where UC is playing kind of, you know, poorly and isn't getting any kind of good defense in front of him. And so Pekka's getting the starts, but you know, you see a lot of his games, even when you look at the tape, it's like, are there some bad goals? Yeah. I mean, every goalie has those nights, But I think more of it has to do with him being hung out to dry, whereas the guys just play harder in front of Pekka.
And Saro, I mean, Saro's finished off last season strong, so we have to see if he's got that coming up for us again this season. Maybe he will.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll salvage the rest of this season to the point where even if the team as a whole isn't playing well, maybe he can show the organization something. But I think UC Saros has a lot of work to do. And a lot of proving to do for the rest of this season when he does get starts. Otherwise, I think it's going to be a really tricky offseason to figure out what the Preds are going to do with Saros. I don't think they want to lose him necessarily, but you can't – you got to wait and see. Pecorine is obviously the wild card in all this. But the Preds, as a fan of the Preds for all these years, it's a weird territory to be in right now. To not know what your goaltending situation is, because the Preds have always, even before Pecorine, the Preds had great goaltending. You had Tomas Vokoun, you had Mike Dunham as the first goaltender, you had Dan Ellis was a really quality goaltender for a while, you had Chris Mason, who is the analyst for Fox Sports Tennessee. Everyone knows Chris Mason. I mean, the Preds have always had really high quality goaltenders, but we're going into some territory here where we might be – this might be turned into a glaring weakness for the team, especially if Pecorine does decide to retire.
The thing that kind of gives me a little bit of optimism, and obviously we hope that he is doing well through the program, the NHL's rehabilitation program, but, you know, Connor Ingram, before everything happened, he was one of the best goalies in the AHL in terms of he was up there for some hardware before the season got shut down. And they were, you know, honestly, I think they were like one of the main contenders for the Calder Cup. So it's if he comes back and he's still in the form, he's still locked in for a couple more years. So that gives me a little bit of hope that, you know, maybe Connor Ingram can be that stopgap that we thought UC was going to be between, you know, Pekka and Askarov. Because, I mean, Askarov is – he has to be your guy. When you draft him at where he was drafted at, you know, eventually, like, he's got to figure it out. But he's still got a lot of development to go. So maybe Ingram is that guy for us. And Ingram, and we're seeing a little bit of Pekka. I mean, you see guys that have, you know, like Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, the guy has had a career – well, not a career year, but he's had a fantastic year for Vegas, and he's up there in age. I mean, they're – It's not possible for Pekka to say, you know, he could have a good year or at least another good decent two or three years. He's not going to be the Pekka of old, but that just means that we need to play better in front of him.
And that's only if he wants to come back and play. He might decide. Yeah. He might very really. This is what I honestly see happening most likely with Pecorine. I think it's very likely that he walks away on his own.
Mm-hmm.
That he says, "Hey, I'm done. I'm at peace with my NHL career. I've had a great NHL career. I'm ready to go out on my terms." I could see that happening more than anything else, honestly. And then that could leave the Preds in a really bad situation because Pecorine moves on. You don't feel confident in UC Saros, but you have to restructure a new contract for him. So what do you do in that situation? You don't feel confident in him. Do you just let him go as a restricted free agent? And then you have to start looking for these – journeyman goaltenders who are out here that are free agents. Like I said, the Preds have not been in that situation in a long time, and we could be heading into that territory. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of this season finishes out. Ideally speaking, UC Saros rebounds. He comes into his next few starts and just starts finding some confidence again, which is what he did last season. That's what we're hoping.
Happens. Yeah, I think since it appears that they are going to be going through the rebuild or whatever, I think they just need to start Saros like a lot for the rest of the season, and just to get him that time and just to get him some playing time and just to see what he can do under pressure. Because like I said, in March, they've got a gauntlet they're going to run with all these good teams. And
well, Saros is going to get plenty of starts whether they want to start him or not, because these games are going to get a lot more packed in.
Yeah.
Coming up to reschedule these games that got rescheduled. He's going to get his action whether the Preds want to use him or not. But I see what you're saying as far as you're basically saying, Rich, let's flip it around and give Saros primarily the most of the starts going down the stretch and move Pekka back to being the backup, even though Pekka is actually playing better.
I think so. I mean, if you're going to count on Saros to be your guy next year, he needs more time.
I get what you're saying.
He hasn't played.
Fair point.
When was the last time he played? It's been gosh, when was it? I don't even remember. But I just think that they need to give him, you know, just put him out there and see what he can do.
I'm going to make
get out of his slump he's in.
I'm going to make a somewhat bold prediction for you guys. I think realistically we see UC Saros next year as a starting goaltender in Seattle.
Ah.
The way it's looking, it's not a bad prediction at all.
He is one of the best backups in terms of, like, if you want to say he's a backup, but I would say it's 1A and 1B. But he's one of the best secondary goaltenders in the league. You know, if the rest of the teams are going to protect their top guy, Saros is the best one available. And not only that, they don't have to use any kind of draft capital or expansion draft capital to get him because he's a free agent. They can sign him straight up. So that's my prediction, is I think that we're going to – if you love UC Saros, I wouldn't say go out and get a Kraken jersey with his name on it, but you can consider it.
But if someone went out and did that, that'd be hilarious.
That would be.
If they do it and they want to tweet us, that'd be awesome. We'd love to see it.
It's a good looking jersey.
It is a good looking jersey. I do like
it. So it's looking like the last time Saros played was he came into that game when the Preds lost to the Red Wings 4-2. Okay. Saros came in for a little bit in that game.
Yeah.
That was a pretty game. That was a game I tried to move out of my memory because that was a pretty ugly game as well. Other than that, Peck has been getting most of the starts recently.
Yeah.
Let's see. Saros. Oh, his last start was when he gave up 6 goals to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
Well, that's 24 saves on 30 shots.
Yeah. That's tough, too, because of who they were playing against.
Exactly.
And it really stinks to be talking about this because, you know, we all want him to succeed or whatever. And, you know, if Pekka does retire and then you've got Saros and he's gone, then, you know, we don't know if Connor Ingram, like, what his status is going to be. So that leaves us with Casimir Kaskasuo and whoever they have.
I think Florida. If it comes down to that, I could see the Preds going out there and getting them a veteran free agent goaltender. There's plenty of them out there.
Yeah, I was just meaning they don't have anybody like
coming up through the ranks is what you're saying. I think there's still a lot of hope for Connor Ingram.
I do too.
I mean, he's like still Colin young guy. Said,
we hope that he's getting his life together because that's what comes together. You know, that's all way more important than hockey. Yes, we hope that he's getting healthy. We hope that he is focusing on all the things that he's battling right now. And he, you know, all of our good vibes and prayers and thoughts go to him right now because that's way bigger deal than hockey.
Yeah.
But the fingers crossed that he is able to return, and he's still a very viable option to be a goaltender on the NHL level next season for the Nashville Predators.
He's still a very young guy too. I mean, that's the thing. The talent is there.
Connor Ingram is a very, very solid goaltender. So
Tampa Bay didn't trade him away because of lack of talent. Exactly. There were some other reasons. And so it's good to see he's addressing that stuff, but he could be that guy. I mean, there's always those Jonathan Quicks out there, you know, that we can sign if we need to, if we're in a tight pinch, but yeah, it's just gonna be interesting because we've been so blessed to have Pekka and even Thomas Vokoun and Chris Mason. Like we've just had those goalies
been spoiled.
Count on. We have
here in Nashville. We've been spoiled by great goaltenders, so that's why this is such a weird topic to even talk about. But the Preds are kind of starting to enter that territory where we might see one of those situations where the Preds don't have a set goaltender for a little bit. They kind of do have to shuffle some things around and just throw some random guys out there every now and then because it's just – I just don't know. It's weird. There's a lot that needs to be figured out the rest of the season, but we definitely didn't think going back around this time last year – can't believe it's already been a year, but that was when Saros had back-to-back shutouts against the Dallas Stars. Yep. It was right before the season pause happened and all that. If you would have asked me a year later that we were talking about UC Saros maybe not being a future of this team, I would have called you – I wouldn't have called you crazy, but I would have definitely disagreed with you.
Yep.
But that's where we are, and it's a fair topic to discuss. And it sounds like all of us are kind of pretty concerned about and not very confident that Saros has an extended future in Nashville. But we'll have to wait and see. If he finishes the season strong, that'll obviously change that narrative.
Yep.
And it'll also help the Preds maybe turn some things around and get some wins. Yep. And so let's go into our last segment, and it kind of like – kind of has to do with UC Saros because he could be traded. We never know. So let's talk about some of these trade scenarios. And let's go ahead and start with Matthias Ekholm because he is the top trade piece that everyone's talking about. that the Preds are going to try to deal. Ekholm hasn't been playing at all lately. He's been on IR for a while. Seems like forever.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about some of these players. We're going to run down a short list of players that are likely to be traded or very well could be traded. And we're going to kind of like talk about, well, what would the team need to get in return? Or what do we expect the team to get in return? And when it comes to Ekholm, for me, I think for sure, if we're dealing off Ekholm, you should be able to get a really solid return for him. Mm-hmm. Like, I think there's a lot of teams that want him in their top four defensemen. There's got to be at least 10 teams out there that would love to have Ekholm.
Interested. There might be a couple teams that even want him in the top two, the top pairing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And so for me, I would need a first-round draft pick and one or two really promising prospects. That's my baseline for Ekholm. Do you guys think that's a little bit more than more real? That you think that's a little unrealistic, or
I would ask for more. Actually, I honestly would say I want a starting player. It doesn't necessarily be able to. It's not going to be of his level of talent, but I'd say a player that can start now, an elite prospect and a top pick.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'd agree with that. So one of the teams that I heard mentioned was Boston, was maybe wanting to look at Ekholm, and I heard the name of Jake DeBrusk being thrown out there a little bit, which wouldn't hurt my feelings any because he's a really good player. But yeah, I think when you give a, like you said, a starter and then, you know, a prospect and a pick or something, I think that's not out of the realm of possibility.
And realistically, it depends on like where the team's picking to. So like Boston is going to be probably in that 24 to 30 rounds, 30 spot. So realistically, like even like if we were if it was a first round pick, you know, it'd be in the back end of the first round. If it was a second round pick, you might be in the front end, but you know, that's kind of depends on who you're trading with and who that team is.
Another team I saw mentioned was the Philadelphia Flyers. Mm-hmm. And Broad Street Buzz, which is a fellow fan-sided NHL site. They cover the Philadelphia Flyers. They put out a pretty interesting article talking about how Ekholm can definitely, if he's on the market, he could definitely fetch a couple prospects and a draft pick. So that's kind of why I started with that baseline. But definitely getting a starter would be something you would be looking for. Someone who can come in and – because I don't think the Preds are – they're not going to say this they're not going to say this in public, but I don't think the Preds are very pleased with their starting lineup right now. I think there's some guys that they're not very pleased with that they're kind of stuck with.
Well, it's like we said in the last segment, they were counting on these guys to step up. And it just hasn't happened this year. I mean, like they were counting on him big time.
It's like Eric Hollis scored a goal tonight. Great.
For the first time.
That's his first goal of the season.
Yeah.
It's like he's been my most disappointing. Even after scoring the goal tonight, Eric Hollis has been my most disappointing offseason addition. I would love to get a younger up and coming starter through a trade to replace Eric Hollis in the lineup, or even Nick Cousins, or even, I mean, it's just these guys, these offseason moves he made, just that David Poile made, just have brought very little results.
I mean, even Cunningham has had to, go through some stuff, but at the same time, like, he's been invisible since January.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's manifested. I will say, though, Ben Harper makes me, he's not Ekholm, but he makes me feel better about if we had to lose Ekholm just because he's been playing solid and he's not.
We'll see if he sticks around, though. I wouldn't be surprised if they throw him back on the taxis. And there's been a lot of clarification. I realize that you have to shuffle some of these guys back and forth to the taxi squad for salary cap purposes and stuff, especially with Ellie Tolvanen. But I'm talking more or less like I could see them taking Harper out of the lineup and moving another young guy in that we don't know a lot about. And it's like none of these guys are getting the chance to really – get comfortable. It's like it's like you're giving them these little one game tryouts just to see how they look.
Too, because like you have the situation with Harper where he looks good with Fabra too. It's not just that he looks good as a defenseman, but in terms of the style of play and the way he plays off of Fabra, they make a good pair. And so it's like why? But we know how they are. They change the lines on the forwards. They change defensive pairings. They have to. I mean, because you got to imagine if Ekholm was healthy, he'd be playing instead of Harper.
Oh, for sure. But
then it's my question of like, okay, can we cut Sabisa and just scratch some people and have some more consistency? Because I think with a guy like Harper, he needs that consistency, and he kind of shown that he deserves it. We hasn't been a liability, hasn't been a quicksand out there, but it's just.
I would definitely pick him over to Norty.
Oh, 100%.
I would never. If I had Harper, I would never play Tenorti again. I hate to say that.
Next player I got on the list for trade scenarios and someone I could see is definitely trading, I wouldn't be surprised at all, is Victor Arvidsson.
Yeah.
There's teams out there who would take him and find a place to put him in. Now, what would be a fair return from him? Definitely not on the same level as Ekholm. But I think that at
one point I would say yes, but not now.
I still think that Arvidsson can get you a couple good prospects to push the rebuild, maybe get you a late round draft pick. That's kind of what I'd be looking for.
I pretty much agree with you. I think a decent prospect or two, and then like a third or fourth round pick. That's because
we got to start thinking if we're going to start sending these players off, like Arvidsson, who's been in the core for so long, was part of that Stanley Cup run. If you're going to start sending these players off, you got to think, okay, I don't want to trade him for another player who's past his prime or. Yeah. Like, that's just replacing one problem with another. Like, I would rather take some young players who have upside. Maybe they're going to have some growing pains. Maybe they won't come in here and immediately make an impact. But if you're truly going through a rebuild, I want to acquire assets.
Guarantee you, the moment that Arvidsson leaves us, he probably gets 50 points in the season. Yep.
Don't say that. No.
I know.
But I want to stockpile assets is what I want to do. If we're truly going to do this rebuild thing. And so I think with Arvidsson, you could get a couple good assets. You could get a couple good prospects. You could keep building that prospect pool that we've talked about that's showing a lot of promise. It's starting to really improve and look really good. So I would be okay with that. I would say it would be tough to see Arvidsson go because there are a lot of great memories with Victor Arvidsson. And the guy's got a great personality. He's done a lot of good things for this organization. But sometimes it's time to move on. He'd be another player that'd be really weird to see in another uniform. But you give me a couple really good prospects and a draft pick. They don't even have to be elite prospects necessarily, but some up-and-coming promising prospects. I'll be okay with it.
You know who I think has him on the radar? I would be willing to bet Washington Capitals have already done scouting on him. He's Lavi's guy. Lavi got the most out of him.
If Arvidsson goes to any of these teams, though, he's not going to be a top six player, most likely.
No, he's not. But
not on that team.
But if he's on the Capitals, though, if you put Arvi on your third or fourth line, you could do a lot worse. So
that's true.
Just my thoughts.
So Mike Twitter, who was talking to us earlier, he just said he's currently wearing his Arvidsson shirt.
Oh man, sorry, Mike.
All right, sorry, Mike. Yeah. We could be completely wrong on this, by the way. We're not saying it's going to happen. We're spitballing here. Yeah. But I do think Arvidsson's definitely a player. I want to mention this tweet that Jeremy Gover put out, who's covered the Preds for a long time, has a wealth of knowledge. He put out how GM David Poile told 102.5 The Game just a couple days ago that any deals – leading up to the trade deadline would have to come well before the trade deadline, especially if trading with a Canadian team. And that's quote unquote, it almost defeats the purpose to make a trade if teams wait for the actual deadline. So we kind of talked about that in previous episodes, but it's going to make the trade deadline a lot more complicated to dish out some of these players. So the Preds might end up having players they want to trade, but they just can't find a trade partner and they end up being stuck with some of these players. So for lack of a better term, they're going to be stuck.
So if Toronto wants Philip Forsberg, they need to probably do something within the next week or two.
No, if Toronto wants Philip Forsberg, they can just go ahead and kick rocks and just he's not for sale. Yeah.
I don't know. I heard a rumor that they were thinking about offering up Nylander for Forsberg.
I know it kind of goes back to what Chad's saying though. It's like, do you want to get these older guys that are kind of
what are you? Yeah, what are you really improving on your team by
exactly? That? There's no point.
I mean, I'm sure if that's the one for one trade they're talking about, hell no.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to package Nylander with like a first round pick, even then, it's like I just can't see a scenario where you trade Forsberg.
Yeah. It would have to be something huge, but and they might have said some other things. I don't even remember where I saw it, but I do remember his name being put in there. And like you said, it's just trading in. You know, it's one player for another, and that doesn't really get you anything. And actually, probably not even a better player.
What about another one that I could realistically see getting traded is Colton Sissons?
Yeah.
I think there's some teams out there who would love to have a Colton Sissons in their bottom six.
I think that's exactly where he would need to be. Is like people have to understand, like, yes, he's put in the second line before, but realistically, he is a bottom six guy.
Like teams
and yeah,
teams out there who feel like they're extremely weak on the back end, teams that might be very, very top heavy, you know.
They're looking for that opportunistic forward.
They're looking for that guy who can hold things together. Because let's be honest, most of the time, if you want to go deep in the playoffs, you've got to be solid one through four. Lions one through four. And so there's some teams out there who probably feel like they're almost there to win a Stanley Cup. But a Colton Sissons would come in there. And so Colton Sissons is another player where if we traded him, as long as it's a return that makes sense for us. Mm-hmm. I'd also be okay with it, and I think it would help the rebuild if we had to say, hey, our time's over, Colton Sissons. You were a big part of that Stanley Cup. We're always forever going to remember the hashtag Sissons scored in that Stanley Cup. He'll forever be in that etched in that Preds history book. But he's a player I could see definitely getting traded as Colton Sissons, and I would like to get. I think we could get a starter out of him in return, and maybe even a draft pick. Out of him,
I think we could get, I would say, two prospects and one draft pick. With what he does, and I think part of it's just the intangibles of like what he brings to the ice that doesn't show up on the stats boxes. Yeah. The clutch factor, like the dude does really well in certain situations when he's needed. I mean, granted, it hasn't happened for us lately, but nobody's clutch.
A very good defensive forward.
Yes,
he's very smart. He's very consistent. You can always count on him to put valuable minutes on the ice. He is who he is. He's not a big scorer.
Yeah.
Early on in his career, the team hoped he was going to evolve into more of a scorer than he became. I will say that. That's one thing that never really happened with Colton Sissons is he never became that scorer that a lot of us thought he was going to become. But he evolved his game to where he was valuable in other ways.
I would say he's probably a 40-point player if he's in the right system. I mean, it kind of just depends. I think you have to kind of look at that. That's bold.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'd go that far. But I mean,
the thing is, like,
until I look at him on another team, you don't know
exactly. Well, and the thing is, I look at what he was before Duchesne got here. I mean, we kind of thought, okay, he could be that second line guy that is, you know, is the one that sets people up, that makes things happen, and. I don't know that there was necessarily enough time to see if he would ever become that, because then we brought Duchesne in and, you know, obviously other things happened. Craig Smith, you know, has left. And so we just never really seen it. We've never really seen it manifest, but I think that he's got the potential. I mean, he's shown it in certain times. Like he's got some, I think we're seeing a situation with Colton Sissons where I don't think it's the player that's the reason that there's no production. I think it's the system. I think Colton Sissons in a different system.
That's a fair point.
Could be good.
Yeah.
So
I always see Sissons kind of compare him to like Yarncroft. I always kind of see those two as kind of interchangeable. They're kind of the same kind of player. You know what you got with them. They're consistent, you know.
Yeah.
And I see Yarncroft probably as another one that's probably going to be – traded as well.
To me, they have the same value, actually.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so too.
Do any of you guys see Rocco Grimaldi being a trade piece, or do you think he'll be part of the rebuild?
This is killing me talking about this.
I honestly, and this is nothing against him, but I don't know if there's a market for Rocco. At least not what we would be.
I actually think Rocco's going to stick around. I think he'll be part of the rebuild.
I think he'll be part of the rebuild. I think he'll be part of setting the culture, because he's just very much that tenacity guy that you want to be a part of. If you're going to change culture, like that's a guy that you want setting that culture. But I don't think there's a market for him, honestly.
And he found his landing spot too. I mean, he found a really good spot here where he's comfortable. He makes the most of it. He maximizes his potential. For all we know, he could still have his best years ahead of him. Yeah. I wouldn't put that past him at all.
I'm pretty sure his wife Abby's about to release a country album. So you know, it's more convenient to be in Nashville.
She doesn't want to leave Nashville.
She is very talented too. She is very talented. Yeah. I have a funny story to talk about that, completely off topic, but I still have to tell it. Right before we started our podcast, we hadn't even done our first episode yet. I had the off chance of meeting the Grimaldi, Rocco and Abby's good friends.
Oh, cool.
I'm not going to mention their names. Honestly, I don't even remember their names. But they were really nice people, and they were at this time, the news hadn't even come out yet on when the season was going to start, nothing like that. Yeah. I always talk hockey with people when I'm at work. I'm a bartender downtown at a Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway in downtown Nashville. And so I'm talking to these. I always talk hockey when I can. If I can tell that they're hockey fans, and they told me they're from North Dakota. And so I'm like talking to them stuff. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm like, man, normally during Preds games, you know, downtown's crazy. We love the Preds, yada, yada, yada. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, like, we actually they kind of, like, let it slip, I think. But they're like, oh, we actually know one of the players on the Preds. And, of course, I'm like, who do you know?
Tell me. Tell me.
Like, give me all the details. I need to know. But I try to stay cool about it. And they told me. They were like, oh, yeah, Rocco Grimaldi and blah, blah, blah. And they even mentioned, like, yeah, Rocco just flew down here from North Dakota to get ready for the season. And at that time, no official news had come out on when the season was going to start.
I remember you put that in our group message and we were like, oh, really? And then like 2 days later, we saw the official announcement.
And I knew it was one of those things where it's like, don't blow that up. And I didn't go and tell everybody, though I wanted to. Yeah. But I thought that was cool. And they were really nice people. And so, yeah, the Grimaldis, I hear they're just awesome people. And coming here from North Dakota, and she's doing his wife Abby is she's a really talented musician. Go look her up, her stuff up. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And so I would really hope that Rocco is part of the rebuild.
Yeah, me too. He's one of the hardest workers on the team.
Oh yeah, I think those are the types of guys.
Those are the types of players you're going to want in a rebuild. Exactly. Those hardworking players.
We were saying, he fits the culture, and he sets he's the one you want to be a part of that cultural change. But also, like, some guys are just franchise guys. Like, you think of them and you're like, okay, they're playing in that franchise and I couldn't see them anywhere else. I can't see Rocco for, I don't think there's a market, but I think that just with what the style of play that he plays, the grit, the tenacity, you know, he's a guy that might be a little undersized, but he's not going to let that stop him. Like, that's a Nashville Predators hockey player. Uh-huh. If you ever see one. So,
And so it's been a little bit of a somber episode 22, but that's the way these things go sometimes. But hey, we're going to show up to work and give you these episodes, whether the Preds lose every game or they win every game. We're here for you, Preds fans. We appreciate you listening and watching and following along and communicating with us. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stick it out with you. And we're going to be right here when the Preds turn it around, because they will eventually turn it around. We don't know when. We don't know how long the rebuild is going to take, if the rebuild does end up happening. But we're going to be here to cover all the biggest topics. Before we really get out of here for episode 22, we got to mention our jersey giveaway.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
So we're part of the Hockey Podcast Network, and the Hockey Podcast Network is hosting a jersey giveaway for all of the podcasts. And the podcast that gets the most retweets, this contest started on Monday. It runs until this coming up Monday, so we still have 3 days left. Around 3 days left in this contest. And I don't have the leaderboard. I don't know how many retweets every podcast has so far. But I will tell you that we're performing pretty well. But if you haven't gotten on Twitter yet and followed us, this is all you got to do to win a Preds jersey. Get on Twitter and follow at Catfish Ice. Follow the podcast. Follow the Hockey Podcast Network at HockeyPodNet.
Yep.
And retweet the original post, which we'll put it back out there again. And we're going to select the winning podcast. We'll select a winner to give that jersey to. And so make sure you're communicating with us on Twitter, sending us thoughts on how you think the team's doing, all that stuff. And let's go ahead and win this jersey. And the Hockey Podcast Network does plan on doing these contests again in the future. So this isn't your only chance to possibly win one of these. So we'd love to give out free stuff.
Does that mean we can't win? Can we not win?
No, we can't win. We're disqualified.
I want a jersey.
Great, pretty sure it can be one of those reverse retros too. So I mean, that's all the more reason to get in on it.
No, we are definitely disqualified from winning. So, we've already got some really awesome followers and people who talk with us on the podcast all the time.
Yeah.
So just get out there and retweet that. We'd really appreciate that, and hopefully we can get someone a really awesome Preds jersey. Even though the team's struggling, those Preds jerseys are still sharp, and we got to stick with the team here. So it's being a true fan's all about, right?
Get a Yossi jersey. Sir. He's not going anywhere.
Oh, there's certain players I'd be careful about getting a jersey of right now. Like, I probably wouldn't be running out to get a Victor Arvidsson jersey right now.
No. I bought a Saros jersey. I won a gift certificate to, like, Hockey Central or something, and I used it and bought a Soros. I was going to get an away Rene jersey, but I was like, oh,
I was going to ask you if you used your 50 cents in DraftKings winnings last week for Soros jersey.
I still have it.
You got your two quarters? Did you put a you got those two quarters, right? You cashed out.
I did not cash out. You know what's funny about that? We went to Vegas one time, and I don't gamble or anything, but I did put a dollar in a slot machine and won a $10 coin, and I actually went and cashed it out. And the person I cashed it out with looked at me like I was insane. They're like, are you serious right now? They're like, what are you doing? And I was like,
Who cashes out $10?
Yeah, I was like, hey, man, I'm leaving. I'm
not going to take your $10 and run. Hey, there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
All right, so that's going to do it for episode 22 of the Catfish on Ice podcast, brought to you by DraftKings and the Hockey Podcast Network. Use the promo code THPN if you're not on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Go out there and have fun with the basketball contest we got right now, where you can bet on any team winning, making a three-point shot in any basketball game for the rest of this week, and you can go ahead and win $100 worth of betting money on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Until next time, we appreciate all of you watching and listening. Downloading the podcast, rate it, subscribe it, talk to us on Twitter, give us your thoughts. If you ever have topics we want to cover in future episodes, definitely fire them away at us. We love to talk topics that the fans are interested in. That's what we're here for. So until next time, this is Chad Benton with Rich Howe and Colin Bloom. You've just listened to episode 22 of the Catfish and Ice podcast, and we will see you next week for another episode. So everyone stay safe and take care out there.
See you.